Josh. Lur. 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 Lur.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room is back. Here we are with the great Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
As promised. There you go.
There you go.
All right. So,
Wombat King in the building.
Yes. Yes.
I do not have any secret wombats. All wombats should be free, or in animal sanctuaries, I suppose, but they should be protected at all costs with our lives.
Okay. All right. Yes. Josh Wiggler, we're very blessed here, not just to have you open the show with Tiger King references, but we also have a special guest with us here on the Wiggle Exotic TV channel.
Oh my gosh, it's him. He's here. It's Dominic. It's not your son, Dominic, unless it's time-traveling Dominic.
Yeah, you're going to scare people. You're going to scare people. Yeah. What, the kid is in the room again? Dominic Abate is here for the Wiggle Room.
Woo! What's up? What's up? Wiggs, don't be calling me Dom Exotic, all right?
Dom Exotic. I have a lot of questions that I would have to ask you, and yeah. we don't want to waste that kind of time.
And again, just on that Tiger King reference, I just finished it on my way home from work today.
What did you think? No spoilers.
Just at the end, yeah. All right, no spoilers. Okay. No spoilers.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Honestly, when it was over, I was like, that's 6 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if it wasn't going on during this pandemic, I might have received it differently, but I already have a sick feeling in my body. Yeah, I don't need extra doses of it thrown at me. So I think
hard
that's what
to maybe, be watching a show about things in cages right now when everybody feels so
we're caged up.
Identified with the big cats. Yeah, interesting.
Exactly.
All right. Dominic Abate is here with us. Dominic said he wanted to jump onto a podcast. I said, hey, what are you doing on Monday? Come on the Wiggle Room and hang out with me and Josh. Dominic is on quite the media tour this week. Listen to this trifecta he just hit. He hosted the Survivor Instagram this week.
What?
Whoa.
Whoa. How was that? Was that good? Was it fun?
I think it went well. I don't know.
No one reported you?
Mm-hmm.
Your account still stands as far as you can tell?
I got some nice feedback. People said, great job, man. Way to, carry the message.
Yeah. Dominic appeared with Dalton Ross this week on EW Live.
How's Dalton doing?
He is what he's, I tell you, he sounded a little bummed. Mm-hmm. Just with the whole situation, but we had a good chat. We got to talk a good amount of Wendell.
Yes,
this week, we got into the good Wendell conversation.
Why? What's up with Wendell? Is there something happening from
the last 2 weeks, he's kind of had the wheels are falling off a little bit with my guy.
I know. It's good timing to have you on here, Dom, because I feel
here.
You're here. We need to be talking about what in the world is going on with your buddy Wendell Holland.
Yeah.
Seems like the heel turn is what it seems like optically from some vantage points. Mm. But I know you know Wendell. He's your guy. We're all about the story here on the Wiggle Room podcast. What's the true story behind what's up with Wendell right now?
I honestly blame it all on Bryce.
Bryce, okay.
Ever since Wendell got back from Ghost Island and started hanging out with Bryce, Wendell's been getting a little more and more feisty. Yeah. I've noticed it in many phone calls we've had. It went from, hey, Dom, what's up? What's up? What you want? I'm like, what do you mean, when? Why are you getting so feisty with me? And I realize I piece it all together, and it's Bryce. I blame it on Bryce.
It's when Wendell called you the freakiest freak of the week is when you were.
Did that happen?
That was off the air.
Okay, so we'll get into everything from Survivor. But first, Dominic, how's everything going over by you?
Yeah, man. We're holding down the fort here. Like I said, the kids are being great. It's me. I'm the problem child. Okay. My wife wants me out of here. I'm complaining every day that I got some symptom of something. I'm sure a lot of us are going through that right now. But for me, I don't know why it's really taken another level. The problem is for me is this ride into work still.
You're still working.
Drive into Brooklyn. Yeah. And I see how many people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm not going to try to turn this into a set. This is a fun podcast. We're here to have fun.
Yeah.
No, but people need it as if you're not working, if you're not an essential worker, you gotta do your
best. Dude, it's killing me. And then someone posted today, even on Twitter, when the medical ship pulled into the harbor. Mm-hmm. If you go on Twitter, you can see the thousands of people that gathered to see the ship pull in. And I'm like,
I know.
Can you just go home?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like the anxiety of seeing people in the vicinity of where I have to be. And I am very socially distanced at work, so I feel like I'm doing my part. And if I wasn't able to be socially distanced, I feel like I wouldn't even go in. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I could still do my thing while maintaining distance is what's keeping me going. But when I see what I see around me, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, so that's all. I'm glad we've got you here to give you at least a little bit of a distraction here.
Yes.
It's a great season of Survivor we get to talk about. We get to talk about some of your friends and mine. And like this, it's really lucky that season 40 is on right now in what is inarguably the strangest and scariest and most stressful time of my entire life. And I think that any of us have ever seen on such a wide scale. Rob, the content you've been putting out this past week has just been killer. The Tiger King podcast with Bryce was an absolute delight.
Thank you.
And if we can provide anything, even, you know, in the ballpark of that level of comedy today, I think that we're all going to be in a good place. So, Dom, I love you, man. And I know that this is not easy stuff and that you're having to go into work every day is really not easy. My heart's in your car every day, my friend. Like I'm with you like a forest ghost, and I'm thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Yes. And I actually did reach out to Rob and said, Rob, I could use this to help me shake off some of these nerves that I've had. And Rob's like, don't you worry, my man.
We'll come on in.
Come on in. Yeah.
So wiggle room's always open for you.
And I think that's why I've been taking that with me. That's why I've been accepting a lot of things like people like, you know, Dalton Ross reached out and Survivor Instagram said, well, can you do this? At first I was like, I'm not in the mood for that. Even Wiggler, I was supposed to do a podcast with him.
Yeah.
On Westworld, which I love Westworld more than anybody, but I can't even wrap my head around it.
Hard to watch
it
right now. Yeah.
So what I realized though is accepting some of these invitations to do things has been healthy for me. It's making me not just live in this COVID world. There is, you know, life beyond that. So for me, it's been great. And that's why I really appreciate you guys having me on tonight, because it's just nice to kick back and talk Survivor and the things that we love, and you know, just see your two handsome faces just brings joy to me.
Do you like the people who don't watch the video can't see? Do you like Austin Powers in the background of my room?
That's pretty shagadelic.
Pretty groovy, right?
It's not bad. Very nice.
What you're missing if you're not an RHAP patron watching these Wiggle Rooms live? Austin Powers is a regular part of the crew now. It's our silent partner.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of these big stories that we like to track on this show. Of course, one of the big things that happened this week was Sandra walked off from the edge of extinction. Josh, you love this. Power move. Power move.
Glory. Oh, my God. Favorite part of the season by far and away.
Yes.
Sandra taking one step on to the edge of extinction, being like, nope.
Yep.
Nope. No way. That's my queen. Yes, my queen.
So you were amazing. For it. You were love. You were all for it.
Absolutely.
You were
like,
absolutely. Yeah. See, when Dalton asked me about this, because during my Instagram story, when she walked off, I remember I think I did like a quick little clip on Insta saying like, oh my God, the queen just quit the game. And then like I processed it and I thought about it. And then the next day I did the Dalton Ross interview. And I was like, I think I was out of line saying what I did, because I have mixed emotions about it. First, I was like, how could the woman who eats, breathes and just lives this game just walk off? So in my mind, I was given a little bit of a hard time. But then when you really look at everything she's accomplished and who she is as a person, we know she just came off of 39 days of sitting on it. I mean, you've heard all this, right? You guys talked about this 100 times already. All that. I was like, all right, let me give her a pass. I think she has the right to step off and bow her cap and take
she's retiring into the into
shut
the night.
It down. Yeah. I think
sailing off into the good night.
And that's good, because that saves us, you know, if she's not that into it at that point, now we get more commentary from other players that are there.
I'm sad to miss her on the jury. It would have been great to have Sandra as part of the jury. That would have been fun.
True.
But I think, look, she won Survivor twice. Anyone who says that, like, Sandra has a stain on her legacy.
No, that's Sandra, silly. That's silly.
Sandra's the quitter. And these are just people who, it's just trolls. She won Survivor twice. She has $2 million from Survivor. She sat on this island for 36 days for Island of the Idols, saw what she saw, and came back, you know, for the very next season. With 2 weeks off in between, she has no shot of getting back in EOE. EOE is a physical game, especially the reentry point. There's no amount of advantages that she's going to buy that's going to get her in there over Tyson or Rob or Natalie or Danny or any of these players. And she knows it. Sandra is one of the most self-aware Survivor players in the history of the game.
Which is why she won twice.
As far as somebody who just, like, knows who she is. So she gets there. She's like, yeah, no, this is a bad twist. She's outspoken about how she hates the Edge of Extinction before the season. It makes all the sense in the world to me. It's not a stain on her legacy. It's not an asterisk in her history of the game. If anything, this bolsters the Sandra Diaz-Twine legend. It's like, I have to go to the Edge of Extinction? Sorry, as long as it's not me. I'm voting myself
out. Anyone but me, right?
Yeah.
Dom, I really want to get your perspective on this as a former player, because in terms of Sandra leaving, do you have any sort of idea of how the payout structure works on the season? Like, was this like a not such a great financial move, because that by leaving the Edge of Extinction, did Sandra go from wherever she would have been, you know, 13th place? Did she now come in 20th place on this season?
I would say so.
And I'm not sure, well, did the payouts get bumped up for this season?
Right. Well, there's probably a minimum, right, for everybody, no matter what.
Yes.
Whatever that number is. And then I would say, like, if you compare that minimum number, let's just use a fake number of 35,000.
Okay.
You know, in a regular newbie season, that 35,000 mark might be, you know, you have to come in 10th place,
right?
Mm-hmm. Let's say. So I would imagine anyone that comes in from first to 10th in this season even is still only probably hitting that minimum. And then the scale goes back to what it would normally be.
Okay.
So I don't think it matters, but you're right. The question is she considered the 20th place contestant, or is she considered whatever it is, 12th, or, you know, where she is now?
All right. So Randy Newpel is in the chat. Says producers has confirmed it does not change the placement. So that's interesting. Natalie is still considered 20th place, but though if she ends up getting back in, that changes things then.
Yeah, right. So she's considered 20. I guess the only person who it's going to change for is the person that gets back in.
Yeah.
Right. And then they're considered back in the alive mix of people. And then everyone else's spot shifts one, because that one person now is re-entered the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Josh, I do feel like, though, as viewers, we were robbed of complete, I don't give a you know what, I can get loud to Sandra on the Edge of Extinction.
I don't know. Maybe to some degree, but I think that accepts the premise that, like, I don't know. I think, like, that just because the Edge of Extinction is there, we just have to accept it. You know, I've done this song and dance 1,000 times. Yeah. I don't want to.
But I don't think that
further.
Sandra says I reject the premise. So, like, I don't feel like that for the never edgers that are out there. Like, I understand why you're excited about it, but I don't think that Sandra felt like, philosophically, I disagree that the Edge of Extinction should be a thing.
Yeah,
I'm making a stand against the Edge of Extinction.
No, I don't think that that's what it is at all.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think that that's what it is. That would be hysterical and amazing. I definitely don't think that that's what it is. I do think, if you read her preseason stuff, you know, she said, like, she's a big thumbs down on EOE.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't surprise me at all if, like, you know, people, someone says, never stop saying never edger. I definitely agree with that take.
Never.
It wouldn't surprise me if on her way out, or even, like, beforehand, like when they're revealed to that Edge of Extinction is in play, that she is going to articulate the fact that she thinks that it sucks. So I think that that's still very much in play. But I don't know. I think, like, when you think of, like, the long-term arc of Sandra, and she says that she's retired, right? That this was it. This was, you know, for her, this is what she considers round five. You know, round four was being a mentor on the Island of the Idols. where they, you know, poured thousands and thousands of dollars into creating this gigantic Sandra Diaz twine head. If they're going to now broad brush her as a quitter, that was a really rough investment for Survivor.
Yeah. Do you think Survivor has painted her as a quitter?
No, yeah. I definitely don't think that they have. I feel like when you look at Sandra's arc, so that's a 36-day chunk, right, that she's on IOI for in this unusual capacity. She wins her first two times at bat. She goes home on day 16, her second two times at bat. Like, the poetry of Sandra Diaz Twine is very, very intact. This woman who is so notable and powerful for her style, for her snark, for the way that she lives her life in and outside of the game with an I don't give an F kind of attitude. This is who I am. I'm Sandra. I'm not going to be anybody else. Getting to play that all the way down to the end of the line with this sort of like symmetry to her storyline as well, I think it's pretty perfect. I would have loved to have had more Sandra on my screen. But I think that like the storybook ending of Sandra's time on Survivor, if this truly is the end of the road for her, which I think it ought to be. I think that this is a good time to close some stories out. I think it's just it's a really poetic ending, especially with her season being the first season that had a quitter on it, right? In terms of Austin.
Oh, okay. And I feel like that's so much
tribute to Austin.
So much of her story this season has been about who's sitting out. Oh, we're going to rename the sit out bench, the Sandra bench. I mean, it's true that she's sitting out the Edge of Extinction challenge and sitting out the Edge of Extinction.
I almost felt like, I felt like the producers were almost trying to show us that she, like, how much she's not into this. Mm-hmm. Like, they would highlight her sitting out as if it was, like, to be spoken about. And that's what I thought that was going on there. Because sometimes you can get that impression that the producers are trying to show the audience a certain thing. And every challenge, she would sit out and they would be like, they'd make, like, a thing out of it. You know, and I was like, ooh. Are they setting her up for something? What's going on here?
Right. I think in retrospect, you can see that a bit more. Certainly, like, you can track those bullets along the way now that you for her. But I think, like, it's that's such low hanging comedic fruit that they got to play. You know, they got to take the full kiwi and eat it in its entirety. Because that stuff is just so, so great. But that also does work out, like you're saying, Rob, like, story arc wise for this season. So much of the Sandra story, there were so many great moments of humor that were built into the idea that Sandra was just like, I'm not going to do this one. And for that, like, the final result for her, I don't know. I just don't know how you can get out and, like, be a huge Survivor fan and walk away from this saying that Sandra's legacy now is she's a quitter. It's just kind of crazy.
I mean,
I agree with that. Let me ask you guys real quick, though. Do you think if she didn't do what she did on 39 and sit out there for 6 weeks, do you think she would have quit?
I think that probably had a huge role.
Input,
I mean, we can, you know, talk all day long about, like, how much were she and Rob actually out there versus they were actually in, like, the Grand Plaza Fiji or whatever hotel. I don't want to name any of them. There's some great hotels out there. There's some not so great hotels out there.
To me, I think that the people that were out there, had it been like a crew of people that she preferred their company, that maybe she might stay a day or two. I think that between the company that was there and the idea of it, I think that those were the two things that said, all right, you know what? I'm not even going to hang out here.
Well, who needed to be there for Sandra to stay? I mean, obviously there's some awkwardness with her and Rob, and they just did 36 days together. And she's like, he snores. Got to go.
But also real quick on the Rob thing, if you go back to the episode, Rob kind of gives it to her a little bit too. Yeah. He's like, you know, like, what are you doing giving up power? So now she's feeling even crummier
and
about
Amber,
what just happened.
Amber piling on Amber too.
So she already supposedly has an issue that Rob didn't tell her that he was going to be out there also. So that's already sitting there. And then when she gets there, he's kind of pounding on her a little bit. She's probably like, peace, I don't need this for the next 3 weeks.
You guys have fun at your little Edge of Extinction. I'm going to be getting out of here.
You're a little clicky.
All right. Well, I want to talk about your perspective, Dom, on Wendell this season, because I know that that he seems like that, if anything, either he's misunderstood or that we're not getting across in the edit what he might be trying to accomplish. So is that how you feel in terms of watching Wendell this season, who you played for 39 days with the exception of the second swap?
Yeah, I absolutely think he's misunderstood. I think there's a really weird chemistry thing going on with him and Fitzgerald, and I think it's screwing up the way he's able to portray himself. And what I mean by the chemistry, I don't even mean that it... I just... We know that they have past history. I'm familiar with their history. You know? And for whatever reason, even though what has happened with them has happened and it's passed and they're still friends to this day, but coming out into this game, it creates... And the fact that they didn't start together... I think they both got into their own ways. And then when they were forced to come together, now there was just this weird chemistry that they could not seem to hash out. And for me, I can't quite figure out what's going on with him. But I think it's not as abrasive as everyone's making it out to be. I just think it's just, I don't know. Weird for me to watch, though.
I thought that Fishback had some great points on the know-it-alls, and I don't say that lightly. Don't say that lightly. that I thought that Fishback had some great points on the know-it-alls about like the idea of like, yeah, Wendell looks like a bad guy because there's a cymbal crash. Yeah, Wendell looks like he's the villain because there's these eerie violin strings that are playing underneath what he's saying. And I do think that a big piece of it is the edit, and this is a TV show and they got to dramatize things. And I feel fine with the fact that like Survivor, like gussy it up as long as it is mostly resembling the truth, make it entertaining, you know, make
absolutely.
It fun. And think about like who's out there right now. Who are like some of like, listen, they're all former winners. Everybody, these are business trips that we're talking about. These are businessmen and business ladies. And this is a hard fought game. And I think like certainly there's going to be instances where there's a lot of emotionality involved. And there's it's not like these are people who are above hard feelings. But I think like as far as like someone just being like a brutal a-hole, there really just isn't one on the season. But you have to have adversity and you have to have some conflict.
Agreed.
There's a very easy natural conflict storyline in the battle of the exes with Wendell and Michelle.
But so I think, are like, they battling?
At least in terms of the squabbling on the beach, like at least in terms of like the friction.
Because it looks to me like they're voting together.
Yeah, they're not squabbling.
I think it is being set up and presented that way.
Yeah.
Because like that is an area where you can scoop out some, you know, dramatic antagonism on the show.
Especially
where else does that really exist right now?
Right. And especially if these are the tribes that are going to end up going to tribal the last two episodes, right? They're going to have to show that there's some kind of good versus evil. Everyone's going to have their moment this season to look like the bad guy. I feel like, you know, even like, I think Adam Klein kind of looked a little wacky a few weeks ago.
For sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I think this just happened to be Wendell's little bucket of bad episodes for him, you know, and hopefully he pulls out of them, you know, and does it. But like I said, they're going to keep, I think this Michelle Wendell storyline thing is playing itself out for a reason. And I'd like to see what it is.
I want to keep talking about the Wendell and Michelle thing, but Dom, I want to know from you, did you feel like that there was there a point in Ghost Island where you felt like that there was something that was made to look to be like a more sinister that you did when you went back and watched the episode, kind of like what Wendell's going through now?
It's a good question. I don't remember ever watching anything of myself and being like, whoa, that's a misrepresentation. The only thing I think I was bummed about was when I threw the challenge to get Bradley out and they made it just look like I was a bad swimmer. That was, other than that, like it was,
yeah, and you've got trophies in your room that say otherwise. That you're a winning champion.
The butterfly stroke. Yeah, my daughter's trophies. So there's obviously swimming in my family. Yes. Okay, buddy. Yeah. So but as far as me ever like having explained to people on social media and be like, that's not what it was, it wasn't like that, not for me personally, no, I didn't have anything that went down like that. I'm trying to think of someone else on my season that might have gotten a raw deal. I would even say Chris Noble did, but he had so many great things, as you know, you can't figure out which ones were, you know, misrepresented, which ones were actually true with him. But for myself, I can't say, I off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about with Wendell in terms of voting out Yule, that it seems to be sort of like the antithesis of what we saw a lot of talked about in Ghost Island about, original tribe strong, Davidi strong, got to keep the original tribe strong into the merge, where it seems like that, at least for Wendell and Nick, that the relationship with Michelle moving forward was more important than keeping the relationship strong with Yule and the rest of the people from the original Dekal. Did you find that to be surprising that Wendell wanted to go in a different direction than original Tribe Strong?
Well, I don't think it was really about Tribe Strong. I think that Nick and Michelle have some pre-existing history. I'm not saying that they pre-planned anything, but I think...
But you're not saying.
Right. Okay. But I think it's also important to remember that, especially if you've met someone or hung out with someone that's played the game before, and now you're out there and now you're with people who haven't played the game, and you already know about the legend of Yule and the greatness that sits behind him and who he is and the complete player package that he is. You know, it doesn't take much of a conversation to go to Nick and Michelle and be like, we don't want to sit next to this guy, right? Like, that's it. That's all it really requires. And knowing that you spent time with Nick at some charity event, and you know, Michelle, you may have dated, and you may or may not be friends with her at this point, you still can get a quick read on people you have some affiliation with and just say, not Yule. We cannot keep this guy in the game. And even as a non-player, Wiggs, you want to sit at the end with Yule?
No, God, no, absolutely not. Hell, that'd be terrifying. No. That'd be terrifying.
Right.
Very, very scary.
I think for me, that was such a no-brainer, and I don't think it really required any past strategies that may or may not have worked in past seasons for any of them. I think it was just like, this is an easy decision for us, but we, you know, I guess we'll play it up a little for the cameras, but this is who we're going with.
The
you know?
I didn't get to listen to the full thing, but the conversation you had with Chrissy this week, Rob, yeah. I think what she had said about why it was a really easy decision to vote out Yule was really intelligent, really insightful. Where she talked about how if you look at all the pre-emergers, it's basically all the old schoolers are gone at that point except for Yule. And because right. Edge of Extinction is in play and these people are all going to make it to the jury and they don't even know yet that Sandra has left the building, that she has vacated Fiji, that if Yule gets to the point where he is allowed to even be within like earshot of Final Tribal, then he just has this whole old school block that could vote for him to win. So you just have to eliminate him there. I thought that was a really smart point.
I don't suspect that's the case. I feel like that the feeling might be that Yule, as the person who was sort of targeting the poker alliance, maybe word of that may spread to the Edge of Extinction, and maybe a lot of those old schoolers like the Robs and Ambers and Tysons of the world may be holding that against him.
Oh, that's a good point.
It might be very awkward. Medio, we know.
Yes, potentially.
That's a good point.
I do think that is a very real possibility.
You'll regret throwing the poker alliance.
You know,
there.
But I do want to ask you, Dom, about the decision that Yule made, because I feel like that it had this been where, okay, so Nick and Michelle Wendell said, look, we don't want anything to do with Yule. We don't want to sit next to Yule at the end. Too big of a threat. Let's vote out Yule. Did you think it was interesting that Yule didn't want to vote out Michelle and say, hey, let's keep the original tribe strong. Let's keep the alliance strong. Yule was coming for Wendell also. And Josh, this was a bit of Han Solo Greedo action of who shot first between Yule and Wendell.
McClunky. Yeah. I don't know. That casts Yule in the Greedo role, and I don't like it. So I want you to pick a different metaphor because I don't feel comfortable with it.
Okay.
Because Yule shoots first. Greedo loses that battle. Greedo just loses. Greedo is the first one to the Edge of Extinction.
Okay. Did Carol Baskin start targeting Joe Exotic first, or did Joe Exotic start targeting Carol Baskin?
Well, it's a real chicken in the egg. That's a real chicken in the egg. So that's a closer battle. So I'm more comfortable
with that
with Yule and Wendell as Carol and Joe.
Yeah.
only slightly more comfortable there. I was surprised by it. I was of course surprised by it, but I think like, all right, so if you just like buy the surface narrative, then the surface narrative is Yule is a guy who's really rattled by the way that Wendell is shaking the cage, at Tribal Council an episode earlier, and how he's, you know, with all of like the tough guy bravado that he's tossing out there. with like, give me a fire token, Parf, you know, give that to me. And yet then it becomes Yule who has he goes like full Gollum with my precious fire stones. You know, like he needed that like very badly, and it becomes a full flip script. But the fact that he was going after Wendell rather than Michelle, I was pretty surprised by as well.
Yeah.
Also, he did stand witness to a conversation between Wendell and Michelle as well. And that's all you really need to get a fire going against someone. You know what I mean? So if you're witnessing a disagreement between Wendell and Michelle, and you already kind of have a little bit of an issue with Wendell because he pulled some fancy moves at the tribal and he's negotiating in front of you and you're not feeling great about that, maybe you'll just look at it like, all right, here's my opportunity to jump on this. And if he thinks Michelle's someone that's easily influenced, especially with his,
That's his play style history, you know, like that is how it worked when he played in Cook Islands. And, you know, we were kind of like surveying the preseason landscape, and Yule's talking in his interviews about how, he's going to dumb it down. He's going to play it in a way where he's not taking the lead as much. Like, that's just not Yule Kwan. Like, Yule Kwan is so much fun to watch, and he's so great to see play Survivor, largely because he takes the bull by the horns and comes up with this inventive stuff and you know, sees the landscape for what it is and acts accordingly. And that's what he's doing at this vote. And I think it's a really good observation, this idea of Yule seeing someone in Michelle that is maybe not dissimilar in his mind to like the types of people he had been aligned with in the past. But like for him to just kind of like go with the flow and go with like a very easy vote here and not think it through to a larger degree, I think this is just the way that he's used to playing. And I think he kind of just fell back into the old speed.
Agreed.
Yeah. Dominic, do you buy that at all? We talked about this a lot on the podcast this week about the speed of the new school game versus, I know that you don't have anything to measure it against as just playing with first time players in season 36. But do you think there's anything to that? The idea of that the old school players just can't keep up with the pace?
No, I don't agree with that. I think it was just a thing of the numbers, the way they worked out, and that they just had the edge when they did. And there's a lot of circumstance that takes place in each day when you're out there and you hear one thing and that leads to the next. And I think it really just came down to them getting a little bit lucky, the new schoolers in the beginning of the game that started to allow the numbers to really fall in their favor.
What's that number split between new school and old school? I mean, there's certainly a lot more new schoolers.
It depends on what season you consider like old school, new school, right?
Well, you've got Jeremy, Michelle, Adam. You've got like all of the 30s.
So basically from the 30s, right?
You know, you've got everybody there. You got a lot of people from the 20s as well. And then it's everybody from like Yule down or Sandra down ballot, or I guess Rob down ballot at this point. Tyson too. Like anybody who started in that earlier era, those are the people who are now on EOE with the exception of Natalie. And so I think you could really trace it back to like the Danny vote, you know, when Boston, Rob and Parvati and Ethan are like comfortable letting Danny go. They tilted the numbers in a way that really did not favor them because Amber's already gone at that point. And I think like they didn't have that level of wait for it wiggle room to play with the numbers in the old and new divide. And I think you see this a lot in all-star seasons. In your season, Rob, and I will call it your season. In Survivor All-Stars, it was like we're going after either you were a winner or you were the power player from your season. You were like the high-profile person. Mm-hmm. We're coming for you fast. And you guys got knocked out really, really quickly and really early on. It's a similar thing in like Game Changers. If you deserve to be here, you're gone. That's kind of the theme of Game Changers, to put it in a harsher way than I'd like to put it. But just to think about it quickly. So like, I think that happens a lot on these kinds of seasons. And I think that we just didn't know that was sort of like the divide we were seeing was that it was just like this really, it was the attrition of the old school players, but it came up on us really, really fast here.
Those small tribes really make it where there's nowhere to hide. I just hope that if they ever end up doing like some sort of like a bigger season with players like this, there's just, you know, you want to keep the tribes as big as possible for as long as possible.
Agreed.
And give the players more room to hide or merge early. I think that there's going to be strength in numbers for your bigger targets.
Totally. I also want to say real quick, you know, I feel like a lot of the old schoolers, when I think of not all of them, but like even like the Rob, Amber, Tyson situation, it seemed like they were so locked and loaded to protect each other, you know? And I remember I was talking to Wendell before he went out there and he was like, Dom, I'm hearing, you know, rumors that there might be some pre-gaming going on. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, listen, you could take that route if you want. I don't recommend it because you don't want to get locked in to one specific thing that you can and can't do. Let's just leave yourself as the low hanging fruit that can go either way. This way you're not considered a new schooler. You're just considered Wendell, who's willing to play with anyone at any time. Don't lock yourself in ahead of time. And he's like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I feel like you kind of see that a little bit with the old school. I'm not saying it didn't happen on the new school. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying, yeah, though, I feel like because there's so much more reference of like the old school players who have been around longer and we've seen them on social media longer and we've seen them at charity events for years and years prior to a lot of the new schoolers, you know that there's this embedded relationship with a lot of them that you're not going to break that. They're going to have each other's back no matter what. Where the new schoolers, you're not really sure who's kind of locked and loaded with each other. And that's what the only thing I was trying to tell Wendell was when you go out there, just let them always keep that a mystery. Don't let them know who you're locked and loaded with because that's going to end up hurting you. They're going to think and make the assumption that you're not going to bend and you want to be bendable at all times. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's what I think. I think that's why we're seeing another reason why we're seeing a lot of new school kind of holding their own for the time being, because the old school players aren't. Think about how much research as a new player you're doing on past seasons. You know everything about past seasons, but once you play the game, you're not researching the new seasons after you. Mm-hmm. So think about Boston Rob. You think Boston Rob studied Nick Wilson's season? It just didn't happen. You know what I mean? So if you think of it like that,
it's really fun to think about Boston Rob just studying. Like, oh,
you see this Nick Wilson guy?
I gotta go back.
He probably doesn't even know Nick Wilson's name.
That's my point.
He might
that's
not
my point.
He probably still doesn't know who Nick Wilson is.
My point exactly. So that's what I'm trying to say is if you're an old schooler, you don't know crap about the new schoolers, and the new schoolers know everything about the old schoolers. So that's my advice to the new people playing this season is don't get locked in and be known as a guy who's working with somebody.
Or if you're an old school survivor player who's going to go back for one of these new school seasons, you better be a super nerd.
That's why Yule did as well as he did, even though it was his time to go. He seemed very neutral, even though he started taking shots at poker alliances and things like that. But still, that was the right course of action. Everyone thought of Yule as a neutral player. They didn't say, he's with someone or he's not, because he hasn't been on the scene in so long.
Right.
That is advantageous to a player who's, you know, going back a second time to play or third or whatever.
Yeah. And I think for these old school players, I think that really what their vulnerability was that everybody knew their connections people felt like, oh, we got to target Amber. She's married to Rob. Well, we got to target Tyson. He could link back up with Rob.
Exactly.
But I don't think that there was as much talk between a lot of the old school players with each other. Maybe, you know, you have a person that you've known for 15 years. Of course, you're going to know them. But what was more dangerous with the new school players, where they if they had a relationship before the game or some sort of agreement before the game, who knew that anybody was friends with anybody? Sure, you know, you have people that were either on tribes together in the past, and it's like, okay, oh well, you know, this person knows this person. But with a lot of these new school players, that it was that you know, who knew if, you know, Nick was talking to Michelle, who was talking to Wendell and things like that. So I think it was a big disadvantage for the old school players to just not have that kind of familiarity on the dossier on what the new school players were doing. Not that they play so much faster than them in this. Okay. All right. I want to talk about something else. Big news this week happened. Okay. Josh.
Yeah.
Did you see on Sunday the Survivor world was shocked when the King returned to his domain?
Oh.
Tony Vlachos returned to Twitter.
The return of the King.
I needed a few days to like really research that. I wasn't sure.
He's back.
Oh my God. with the incredible whoever illustrates his Twitter avatar.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, the new one. Is that the King of the Jungle t-shirt that I have hanging up? Is it the same artist that commissioned this?
I think it's got to be the same artist, but it looks like different art.
Yes.
But God, it looks great.
Looks great.
Tony makes it to the first EOE re-entry point, and he makes it back to Twitter in time for the merge. Wednesday night Twitter should be lit.
So he
was on Twitter a long time ago.
Legendary.
What am I in store for?
Dominant.
Tony versus during Survivor Kagiyan during season 28. Tony was like, you know, the way that he was in the beginning of Survivor Game Changers, just like running around like a crazy person, like a bat out of hell. That was Tony on Twitter in Survivor 28, to the point that we said, oh, this guy must be the first person off because he's really trying to make the most of his time in the sun, feuding with Cass, feuding with Spencer,
like him and Spencer, like posting like text exchanges back and forth that were very contentious. Fireside chats.
He got into a huge blow up with Sarah Lucina over social media during the course of the season. And then
Fishback legendarily had it.
Yes. There was a lot of second guessing of Tony's game during the season, especially that when he made some big moves like voting out LJ at the final nine.
The know-it-alls were not always kind to Tony.
Yeah, we said, was he
dropping any hints?
No, never giving it away. You felt like that. How could this guy be the winner? He's so mad about everything.
Gotcha.
So, but he got really, really mad at Steven specifically, and mentioned something about how Steven was really glued to Spencer, perhaps it was.
Maybe.
He kept being so excited about what Spencer was doing that he was so close to Spencer's game at that time that some residue from Spencer wound up on Steven's glasses.
Steven could not see. He was so blinded by the feces on his spectacles.
And then the following morning, Tony queered the air by taking to Twitter and saying, oh, Rob and Steven, I'm so sorry about that. We were having a sleepover at my house and somebody got on my Twitter account. That was the excuse he gave.
He didn't get hacked. His buddies. That was his buddies. Went after Steven Fishback.
It was his buddies. So Tony is the most delightful of delights on social media.
Yes.
And the fact that he is back is chef's kiss amazing in this hellscape that we are living in. This is good news.
Yes. Do we put anything into why he decided now?
So I could tell you. An update from This Week in Survivor in the social media segment. Tony at Tony Vlachos 73. Go out and give it a follow. He said, guess who's back? Hey, friends, missed you all. I wanted to let you know this is the only reason I've disappeared and been in hiding in my spy shack for such an extended period of time is to make up for the family quality time that I've missed the three times I've been on Survivor, which includes anniversaries, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and my son's birthdays. I am coming back in hopes to reconnect with the fans and to the Survivor community in an attempt to get assistance in helping at Survivor Penner and Stacey Title in their fight against ALS. Please click ALSA.org/survivor to join our campaign. Please, we really need your support. In the meantime, I'm definitely looking forward to interacting with you in this incredible season of Survivor.
Unbelievable. Okay. So coming back for a very noble cause, of course. He's just the best. He's the best. I'm so thrilled that we've had so much Tony so far. Jeff, do not take him at any point. We need him for as long as we can possibly get him. But the fact that we got him on social media now is absolutely nothing short of miraculous.
Yes.
It's just absolutely great. And he responds to like everybody. So if you tweet Tony, he's going to respond to you.
Yes.
Incredible. He's amazing.
Survivor Penner even retweeted it. Look who's back and joining our fight. Welcome aboard, Tony. Together we can kick ALS in the ass.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yes. So... Tony is back. We're very, very excited to have Tony back on Twitter. So one positive thing here in 2020.
Beautiful thing.
Dom, the last time you and I got together, you told a great story about your run-in with Tony. Could you tell that real quick? I'm not sure, Josh. I'm not sure if you know this.
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't much of a story because he was in and out like lightning, you know. So Wendell and Bryce hosted the poker event in Philly.
Right.
And a lot of VIPs showed up, which surprised me. And I remember we were there and we were getting set up for the game. We started playing poker and we were probably in about an hour of the game by that point. And they were like rumors, whispers that Tony Vlachos is going to be here. And I'm like, I don't buy it. I don't
That's
believe
very
it.
Much not what Tony would do.
Yeah. Tony yeah he doesn't show up to things, you know.
He's always there, but he's hiding.
I thought there was hope because I saw Boston Rob there and Jeremy was there. I'm like, maybe something happened in their season that they're coming together. Tyson was there. I mean, these people flew from all over the country and Tony only lived 45 minutes away by car, right? So if they can get there by plane, maybe there's a shot Tony will actually show up. And I remember I was sitting down at the table playing about an hour in and all of a sudden it's like the whole room shook and he comes running in. And hey, I'm here, everybody. Hey, what's going on? Where are we going? Where is my seat? Where am I going to sit? And it's like, what the hell just happened? And he just literally said hi to like three people, sat down, and went all in firsthand without even looking at his cards. There's a lot of video comments. There's a lot of people. A lot of the Survivor fans that were there filmed this.
I've heard some whispers about it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, long story short, we played. I think he went in, all in at least 10 times within an hour. Okay. He lost everything, but he would rebuy because it was for a good cause. And he was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, rebuy again, rebuy again, rebuy. And he bought in 10 times. He stayed for, I think, a total of 66 minutes. And then I actually happened to be leaving early because I had a main trip the next day. So I was walking out at the same time Tony was walking out. And we were parked a few spots away from each other. And he gets in his truck with his buddy. And he rolls down his window. He pulls up next to me. He goes, hey, Dom, check this out. And he burns rubber in the parking lot of the Hilton Hotel for like 15 seconds straight. There's smoke everywhere. I'm like, holy shit. And then all of a sudden, the truck just fishtails out of the parking lot. He's gone. God. Just like that. He was in and like flash. Poof,
he's the out. Tasmanian devil. You know, God. He is.
You would think like, all right, Tony, there's no one around. You don't have to do like, chill out. Sure. Like he would be alone. Alone. That's how he is. I swear to God. It was the greatest thing
I adore him so much. He's always been very, very gracious with his time with me. He was a really game participant with the first one out stuff that we did with the epilogue. That we did for your season, Dom, where we had like the crazy acid trip thing. And I reached out to Tony on a lark to be like, would you want to be involved in anything like that? And he like responded instantly. And I hadn't like talked to Tony for like a year or something like that at that point. And he was all over it really, really quickly. He's very gracious with his time. He loves the community. I think he values his privacy and as he should, I think rightfully so. But when he shows up, he really, really shows up. It's so much fun. Like Tony, when he was voted out in Game Changers, we were doing, that was the first season of Survivor coverage I was doing for the Hollywood Reporter. And we had a couple of live streams that we were doing and it was blizzarding hard in New York City. It was, you know, February. And it was after that first episode, right? Cause they did like the Sierra and Tony boots as the 2-hour premiere. So poor Tony only, you know, he was the star of the show for the first episode cause he gets knocked out. And Tony, like, we definitely could have called it off. And Tony fully came in the middle of like an epic blizzard from Jersey City to Manhattan to shoot this thing that we only shot for like 15 minutes. And he was in and he was out. And he was so kind about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So like Tony, like he comes off as like an absolute lunatic on TV and seems like he's going to be a hard person to get along with out on the island. My experience has been that he is absolutely a lunatic. But he is also just like terrific to be around and is a very, very kind guy.
Heart of gold, man. Heart of gold.
So I love that he's back on Twitter. Seeing him back on Twitter on Sunday night really made my night. It really lifted my spirits. And I think a lot of people in the Survivor community felt the same way.
I was worried we were being catfished, but it seems like everything, all signs point
reluctantly
to.
I had to reach out. I had to verify it. I was like, is this legit? He's like, yeah, it's legit. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Love Tony so much. I think probably maybe the only person from like the RHAP era that I feel like legitimately like starstruck. He's a total legend. Tony Vlachos. Okay,
absolutely.
All right. He's just like a mythical character.
He's a unicorn.
He's a unicorn.
He's a unicorn. He's back on Twitter, and here he is at the merge. It's very exciting.
Okay. All right. We've got a lot still to do here today. Before we get to the wand off, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at DC Universe. Hey, DC fans, craving some action-packed DC content? DC Universe is here to save the day. Watch DC series and movies, read over 22,000 digital comics, and connect with other fans like you in the highly engaging community forum. Josh, is there any reason why people couldn't be checking out the DC Universe right now? This seems like a great time to jump in.
Very genuinely, absolutely. Like, there's going to be no joking involved in this. It's like, obviously, a lot of different sectors of our culture and our community as a human species are hurting and are in pain right now. And the comic book industry is no exception. And the comic book industry holds a very near and dear place to my heart, not just as somebody who read comics as a kid, but like, I got into what I do as a reporter, as an entertainment writer, primarily through comic books. I was a comic book journalist for the first 2.5 years or so of my career. Anything that anybody can be doing right now to be supporting that industry, as you know, comic shops don't know what the next steps are. Publishers don't necessarily know what the next steps are. Well, having a digital outlet, that is a very, very, very easy, convenient to your current lifestyle way of getting into comics. There's so many superhero movies right now. There's so many superhero shows right now. And if you aren't already making comic book reading a part of your regular habit, I highly encourage you to do so. And DC has a ridiculous roster of really, really great books that you can choose from. So full-throated endorsement of DC.
Of course. Also, Josh, the amazing lineup of original series, too. You could watch the hilarious adult animated series Harley Quinn. Season 2 premieres April 3rd. Enjoy fan favorites like Doom Patrol, Titans, Swamp Thing, Young Justice, Outsiders, and the newest series Stargirl coming soon. Take a walk down memory lane. Watch classic series and movies. Kick back and relax. Enjoy remastered animated shows and a newly released animated film or two as well. Get the latest news with special guests. Watch DC Daily and tune into their podcast. DC Universe is available on Xbox, Roku, Amazon Prime Video, Google Play, and Apple stores, so you can get the and enjoy DC content anytime, anywhere. It's no wonder they call DC Universe the ultimate DC membership. Can't wait to join. Get a free 7-day trial plus 15% off your first 3 months with the promo code Rob at checkout. Go to dcuniverse.com/join. Use promo code Rob at checkout. That's dcuniverse.com/join, join, and use promo code Rob at checkout. Valid for monthly subscription only. Offer expires May 31st, 2020. Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. The wand off.
Can I just say, I am honored to be here for this moment, being part of the song, the ritual that is what it is. I got the chills.
Release.
Oh my God.
Yes, the wand off. It's rare that we have guests here at the wand off. Usually it's myself, it's Wanda, it's Rob, it's Casey, and lately it's been a very quiet Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby. Are you feeling Randy Bailey?
Randy.
But we're very happy to have you along for the ride, Dom.
Well, Josh, I don't know. Do you know this about Dominic Abate, that he happens to be a musician himself in another life?
Yes, I do. A drummer?
Oh, that was, you know, for about 6 minutes.
Yes.
You have a good story about that. I don't know if you want to share that on a podcast.
I do?
I believe you do. I believe you've told me you've had a decent story or two about the ways in which your band massively impacted your entire life.
Yes. And how you
legacy?
And ended up disbanded.
Yeah.
Disband. Yeah. I stole.
Yeah. This is it.
The lead singer.
Busy lifting drinks. No, sorry.
No. my wife, my current wife, as if I had several, Kristen, was dating the lead singer.
Of Legacy. Yeah. And he then was, you played the Legacy advantage on him.
I played the Legacy advantage on him. And then I voted his ass out.
So the name of your band was Legacy.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And I was the drummer. Mm-hmm. And the lead singer was dating my wife at the time. And then he went away to college because he was 2 years older. And I was like, bro, mm-hmm. bad idea. Don't do that. Stay yes. close. Because he's like, you're going to marry her, are you? I was like, yeah, I'm going to marry her one day. I swear to God, that conversation took yeah. place while he was dating
yes.
her.
Yes.
Yeah. And he knew.
Yes. He knew it.
And you also took Sarah Lucina's Legacy advantage that she stole from Ciara Dawn
That's
Thomas.
Right.
See,
oh
it's
God.
A whole big love triangle of torture.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
Bury that yeah. thing you do, that story. That's really great.
Oh. Yeah.
I yeah, actually, they had I one think hit. I told that story in my bracket. In my Survivor audition to Probst and Company.
They would love that.
I think Lynn was like, how did you meet your wife? And I was like, oh, it's a funny story. Let me tell you. He was, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I got into that whole
we
thing.
We kicked
and I
think it.
They yep. got a, yeah, we kicked it. And they got a kick out of that story. Yeah. And then I was on Survivor after that.
So. There you go.
There's a lesson in there somewhere, folks.
Somewhere.
We're not going to instruct you on what it
no,
is.
No, we will not.
No moralizing here.
Okay, all right. Let's do this.
Well, let's so talk about last week's results from the Wiggle Room's wand off. We had a wand off last week. We have top three finishers. We like to go yep. over those before we get into the new business. In third place from last week, it was Kiri and Alex with I Always Say Anyone But mm-hmm. Me, song all about Sandra.
Yep, that was great.
Okay.
That was great.
In second place with 25% of the vote, it was the great Amazing Maisie with Tyson nice. The Peanut Man.
That was very good as well.
Okay. And then with another championship to add to the collection with 39.79% of the vote, a little bit of a runaway this week for Alex G with
yes.
the Queen Slays. Queen
Alex G.
With her own idol, S4T. With her own idol, cause a scene. With her own idol, Queen. Queen slays Queen.
Oh my God, this is fantastic.
Queen slays Queen. Makes me scream in quarantine.
Yes.
Slays Queen. Queen Denise. Queen Denise.
Okay.
That will be in my head for the next 3 days.
Oh, well, I don't know. We got a lot more coming yeah. coming your way in a few moments here. If you like a good Alex G earworm, there's a new podcast that's going to be popping on Post Show Recaps later this week.
Whoa.
It's got Alex G's handiwork all over it. So
okay.
Great stuff from Alex G. Always.
Yeah. Was the Alex G song, The Queen Slays Queen, was that a prequel to the Yule versus Wendell Who Shot First battle?
Oh, maybe.
Okay. Should have known
I think
that
it's
was
part
coming.
Of the same movie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in the host of the wand off.
All right, Dominic, I got to warn you what you're about to see, because we are recording this on video, even though you might not be able to see that if you're not watching live. Something very scary is about to happen to Rob. and I just want you to not like get too alarmed when you see what's about to happen, because the no. first time I saw it, I was very, very nervous.
Well, I grew up on Casey Kasem. So,
OK. All right. Well. Have you ever seen Casey Kasem's ghost possess a Long Islander before?
Let's do it.
All right. About to
it. Here's the host of the wand off, the late great Casey Kasem. Rob, Josh, and Dom, it's a pleasure to be back here with you. And Dominic Abate, let me just tell you, in the alternate universe, Legacy had 19 platinum albums.
Yes.
Dude, you did it.
Oh yes, Mom, it happened.
Was that one of your songs? Yes, Mom, it happened. Legacy.
Now I'm going to make a song.
It was a wild rise and fall.
Oh, man, that VH1 series is Legacy King.
We did a whole behind the music, just like I did for the Zach Attack.
Friends forever.
Oh, man.
Josh and Dom, let's check out some of the honorable mentions compiled this week by the Wandoff artists, of course, Top Five Human, Randy Neupel, went through the SoundCloud playlist to upload them all for your listening pleasure. We'll start our honorable mentions this week with a song from Lana and Anthony all about life on the edge of extinction for the Bambino, Boston Rob.
Scattered on top of the island, there are four fire tokens. Follow the trails to their natural ends, then the search begins. There is no limit on how many fire tokens any one player can find.
No.
Take me off of extinction. Get me back in the game. Tank tops and ball shorts and baseball caps. I'm Boston Rob and I'm a portly chap. So I run for the tokens. If I don't find them, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 fire tokens. I'm in the game.
Wow, what a hustle.
Woo!
Play ball. Yeah. And Tyson is the peanut man going to the stadium.
Get your peanuts here, dude. Right? Yeah.
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 One fire token, dude.
Next up, we have another song about Boston Rob. Here is Kevin.
Portly chap, portly chap, why aren't they feeding you? Portly chap, portly chap, go Boston Rob. Attention, this is not a drill. We've hid some tokens on the hill. Tyson and Rob were first to the top. The rest had flashbacks of hiking with logs. Portly chap, portly chap, even though he's middle-aged. Portly chap, portly chap, he's not humongous. Portly chap, portly chap, he's batting 750. Portly chap, portly chap, fire token billionaire.
He's a trillionaire.
That was from the great artist Phoebe Buffay Long.
I was wondering what you were going to do with that. I thought maybe we were going to Australia.
Could have gone a lot of directions. Lisa Kiefer Kudrow.
That's good too. That's very good. Oh man. Friends forever indeed.
Meanwhile, over on the Yara tribe, there was some friction between Ben and Adam. And here to talk about that relationship is Wandoffer Daniel J.
Till now, no one thought that I had an idol. It's probably in Sarah's bag, I bet you. But now the suspicion's overblown. How could Ben ask with that tone? How could Ben ask with that tone?
It just seems like you might have something in your bag. Is that a better tone?
That was from the group Heart is Sylvester.
That song just gave me a nightmare from, I think, the actual last time I heard that real song. It was a bad time for me.
Oh, no. What happened?
No, I don't. I just heard.
Oh, you have sense. Yeah. Sense memory.
Coming
so
back.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Haunted. Mm. It's the ghosts. Oh, you're used to ghosts.
Heart, right? That's heart?
Heart.
Heart. Ooh.
Dom, I have a question to riff off of the Ben and Adam stuff and like some of the stuff that we've been hearing about Ben where like he name checks Rick Devins this week. Oh, this is where Devins found the idol and that he can like recognize the foliage, the topography of Fiji. How much of an advantage do you think these winners who have played in Fiji have? Do you think that there is like a home field advantage to knowing like if you were to go back,
my home field is Fenway.
Like, would you feel pretty comfortable there?
Well, it's funny. I think it depends on what we're talking about. I mean, if we're looking for idols and advantages, sure.
I think I am mostly talking about the trinkets.
Yeah, because I remember even just not having ever left Navidi when I played my season. I never got moved to another island during any swap. So I always felt like that was my land and I knew the layout better than anybody. So if, you know, if Ben was on that beach specifically, he's definitely going to feel like he knows probably a good idea where that tree that looks funny is, or, you know, some of those landmark items, you know where they are before anyone else does. So if you're out on a hunt, you'll know which direction to head in, because most likely you're going to find one of these little trinkets in one of these fancy looking type trees or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, it probably has a little bit of an advantage, but it really comes down to the person that wants it the most is going to find it, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, here's Nicole from California to talk about Sandra and her exit from Survivor Winners at War.
The queen stays queen. Adios, goodbye.
Ah, they miss.
Edge of extinction isn't her thing. Her legacy will never die. She raised the flag, but she stays our queen. The first two times Survivor champion. Haters can hate. She reigns supreme.
Yes.
Yes, through it all, the queen stays queen.
Oh my gosh.
Wiggs, did you have something to do with that? Did you co-sponsor that song?
I may have manifested it.
Yeah, I think you did.
Sometimes
Diaz von Quines.
Some blatant Josh Wiggler pandering that goes on in the Wiggle Room.
A pretty easy way into my heart. Maybe not my guffaws, but certainly my heart is Les Mis. So.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
With a song from Les Miserables.
I believe it's Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
Miserables.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sandra Diaz Fontwine is a very, very funny niche Les Mis thing to say, though. So I'm just going to take a second to take my hand out.
To Nicole from California.
At myself and Nicole.
You guys, pop culture just well beyond exceeds mine. So I'm just going to listen to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, Les Mis Twitter has been lit lately here in the quarantine. So, and there's no barricade to enter. You can just come on in. We'll take everyone. We'll take everyone we can get on Les Mis Twitter.
With Sandra leaving and Yule being voted out, the old school players have left the building. Here to talk about why is the Nick that sucks.
Nobody else should tell anyone else that to get tokens back, they've unearthed a hack. You ask for votes, cool. You look like a fool to me. Tell me why you have to go and make things so complicated. You see the way you're actually the last of the fans. Now they'll be frustrated. It goes like this, Yule. You hardball and you fall, hearts will break. We all ache with regret and we'll turn our minds round. Oh, please pull an Underwood, even Wiggler's result is breaking. No, yes, why do the old schoolers make things so complicated? Between Danny's paranoia, Sandra's idol, Rob's buddies, and Yule's token fixation. They overplayed, yo, when they will not sit still, legends break, so they'll take some time. I'm out on Extinction Island, thinking about all they have done wrong. And whoops, there goes Sandra. No, no, no.
Wah, wah, wah.
That was a jam from Avril Lavoie Jr.
That is a horrifying mental image.
Woo.
Ay, ay, ay. Is my resolve breaking on EOE? Was that what I was at?
That's what the song alleged.
Alex G slid into my DMs the other day with a pretty neat idea. The idea was inspired by the fact that on the Lost podcast, we recently got, and I don't want to trigger you, Dom. I know how you feel about Lost. That on the Lost podcast recently, we got to the other 48 days, which tells the story of the Tailies and flips the perspective. And it's a full episode of like what's going on the other side of the island. And Alex G posited, like, would people respond better to the Edge of Extinction if like we didn't see anything happening on Edge of Extinction until you get to the episode, like right to the point where somebody returns from Edge of Extinction? It's like the other 48 days and it's a full Edge of Extinction episode.
Whoa.
What do you think? Is that like too galaxy brained for you know, people tuning into CBS at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night, or is that like not galaxy brained enough?
You know what? Honestly, I feel like at this point, I wish they would have just showed us the whole season. And then when we get to that point, then let's give us like 4 weeks of the Edge of Extinction and let's have this season go on 37 weeks.
Yeah, no, I'd be okay with
it. Yeah.
Under those circumstances, I'm fully cool with the Edge of Extinction. Yeah. Yes. And that on that playing field, yeah, I'm fully here for it.
Okay. Josh, this week we saw Yule get voted out of the game and the Wandoffers' hearts were breaking. Here is Todd from Atlanta to talk about how that plan came together.
They say we're young and we kicked it. We won't find out. Tribal will be lit. Well, I don't know if all that's true, cause you got me, and baby, I'll vote you.
Oh, no.
Babe. I'll vote you, babe.
That was from the duo of Sonny and Sharia.
Funny, my wife actually texted me something very similar to the lyrics of that song, Once Upon a Time.
So many of the Wandoff listeners were disappointed to see Yule go. Here's how so many of them are feeling. Here's Evan Fairbrother with this honorable mention.
Tell me how am I to watch without you. Now that I've been loving you so long, how am I supposed to live without you? How's all the call supposed to carry on when the source of bread for nourishment is gone?
What a hot week for the Zach Attack. That was from Michael Natalie Bolton, or in honor of Dom Abate, Michael Jurger Bolton.
That's good.
I'll take it.
Man, I haven't really wanted to talk about the fact that Yule's been voted out because it does break my heart. Very
upset. I feel the same. I'm bummed too. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah.
It is really so wonderful to have Yule playing Survivor again. Gone way too soon. Really sucks.
Well, Josh, since this one goes out to you, if Yule is still in your heart, here's Patrick from Nashville.
You'll be on extinction, and he could seize the day. Because what if he won his way back into the game and then got voted out again and then won his way back into the game again and then beat Sophie in the final immunity challenge or fire making and then won the game like Ozzy failed to do in South Pacific, which would be especially fun since Yule already beat Ozzy by one vote in Cook Islands.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Wow, that really came apart. It really just exploded.
That was from Phil Jeremy Collins.
A strange combo.
And finally, we go from a song from Tarzan to something that Josh Wigler manifested 1 week ago. Mm. Here's Not That Devin from Arizona talking about Yule.
Gosh, it's a bummer they voted Yule Kwan. He's so fascinating to watch. Every fan would love to play with Yule Kwan. As strategy goes, he's top notch. No winner this season has such a great life. He's everyone's favorite game bot. Everyone's odd how he's helped Penner's wife. And it's fun to watch Yule hatch a plot. No one schemes like Yule Kwan, crafts routines like Yule Kwan. No one's mind calculates the extremes like Yule Kwan. There's no player around half as brainy, almost like a CPU. He won't put up with your cockamamie. As emotions go, he's the opposite of woo. No one's nice like Yule Kwan, gives advice like Yule Kwan. No one speaking is quite as concise as Yule Kwan. As a strategist, yes, he's intimidating. My, what a guy that Yule Kwan.
Fantastic.
Sorry to Randy Neupel for probably giving him, ordering him a deluge of Gastons.
Best of at least three that we got this week.
Oh my God.
From the hit musical Beauty and the Beast Mode Cowboy.
Oh, well done, sir. Well done.
I think I got called out on Twitter this week that I got Yule voted out because I manifested Gaston into the Wandoff, and there's just nothing that rhymes better with Gaston than Yule Kwan. To the point that even Yule Kwan, even Yule replied to me being like, you'll be sorry for doing this. My apologies to Yule Kwan. I'll say, give us Poor Unfortunate Souls next week. Who's that going to rhyme on to? It's the Ursula song and his body language. You know, we'll be fine. We should be good. It'll be a good song. No one's getting specifically targeted by Ursula the Sea Witch, except for if there's a mermaid in the show. I don't think there is, as far as I know. Oh, is there?
Randy Neupel says at least four.
Four Gastons.
At least four. Let's talk about the top five songs here in Wombat Nation. Of course, you could vote all week long for the Wandoff as tabulated by the great Kurt Clark at robezawebsite.com/vote Wanda. Here to kick things off, song number one here in Wombat Nation comes to us from the amazing Maisie, talking about the Queen.
Repeat top five.
Sandra will always be the Queen. Already got 2 million. She was our favorite villain. Her giant head was left for all to see. Had nothing left to prove and walked off the beach. We said, no one's going to take her throne.
Great job.
I loved it.
That was really fun. Yeah, that's great.
That was from the artist Matthew von Ertfelde Wilder. Or for Dominic Abate, Matthew Wild Derwin.
Oh.
Jacob. I love that. That was a good one. Catchy.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Amazing Maisie is mastering the homeschool music class.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Is that Maisie?
Amazing Maisie.
Well done, Maisie.
12 years old, I believe.
Yes, okay. Amazing Maisie is amazing, as always. Very, very good.
Next up, we've got JRNV in Nashville with a song to honor this week's Fallen Castaway.
Season 40 started off fine. Then the old schoolers fell behind. Yeah, yeah. How
is your Quan. Michelle was the obvious vote out. But Wendell talked too much trash to probes now. Please no, not you, O'Quan. You already voted Ethan out and Tyson and Parvati. So now it's just a new school left. But I miss you, O'Quan. Duplicity. Sandra just left. Yeah, yeah. Worthy Robs hanging out, out on the edge. Now with your Quan. Bargains made in this economy. Now there's tokens for Sarah and Sophie. Sele turned on your Quan. So after voting Amber out and Danny blew her game, Natalie's the new old school. But I miss you, Quan. Damn this Leia duplicity. Sandra just left. Yeah, yeah. Marley Robs hanging out, out on the edge. I miss you, Quan. Ethan's on.
Me too.
Sensual's been gone.
Wow. That was the acoustic version there from Reed Kelly Clarkson.
Nice. Well,
no shortage of Kellys to choose from. Wow. Since Yule been gone.
The number three song here in Wombat's Nation is going to really appeal to people who have binge watching Netflix lately.
No way. Stop. Are we really doing this?
Here's Will from America.
Oh, Will!
Oh, boy.
I was a good player. I had won two times. I had the game running through my veins. I stayed away from the edge. I love my sit-out bench and the beauty of being a queen. Any name is fine as long as it's not mine. But my game went and disappeared. Denise played two idols and took me out of trouble. And Jeff snuffed my torches. I had a fear. Oh, I quit it, quit it. I'm not living on the edge with you. Oh, I quit it, quit it. I'm gonna go eat some barbecue. Oh,
barbecue.
I quit it, quit it. I still got my giant Sandra statue. Oh, I quit it, quit it. Queen stays queen, it's true.
That was from Kentucky Joe Exotic.
Wow, the Tiger Queen. Wow.
Josh, can I mention the pitch you had for a podcast that you texted me?
Yeah,
was it yesterday?
I texted
Every Day Blends
Rob,
Together.
Last night. I think it was last night. Time is a social construct that is fading. that I texted Rob, I've got four words for you. Tiger King Brant Steele. Survivor simulation.
Yes. Dom, are you familiar with the Brant Steele?
I'm not.
Okay, that's a simulator where you can make up, load in whatever you want and you play out a season. Like we could play
obviously,
out...
Obviously, Bloom's got to be here.
We could play out Survivor Ghost Island with the cast of Tiger King.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. So how would you do this?
That's a good question. I feel like it's more... I know you don't want to hear this. It's probably more conducive, I think, to a Big Brother season because I can't imagine what the tribes would look like.
I kind of feel like you
an
do...
An exotic versus Carol Baskin.
Well, give me an example. What would Tiger King...
I could email you about 19 examples that we've done.
I guess Big Brother works. I was thinking, I know this goes off brand, that Edge of Extinction would work because so many people end up locked up. And then one of them's gonna break out.
Yeah.
I see.
I don't know, but we need to work it. Just work. I just don't know what the tribes would be.
Yeah.
Unless we just said like Joe Exotic could be on a tribe with Carole Baskin to start.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's crazy.
I feel like you need to build it like as a Redemption Island, like Rob versus Russell season, but I don't know how you fill out the Baskin tribe.
Yeah, and the problem with that is obviously Coach has to be on the season because he's not going to miss out on the Tiger King season, and Debbie is probably the captain of the other tribe.
See, yeah, you guys have been thinking about this. Okay.
I've had a lot of problems.
Jordan Kalish says Joe's stands versus Ops. Maybe put all of Joe's enemies on one tribe. Maybe,
okay, but they all in some way are his enemies.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, eventually. Spoiler alert. Even his own people.
Oh, my God.
Next up, we had a song about Sandra quitting The Edge of Extinction. We have to give equal time to a song about the greatness of Sandra. Here's Angelo and Charles.
Running up the mountain for a little scoop of rice, sleeping in a raggedy shelter, being bitten by rats.
Some days I just sit on the bench. Most days I just sit on the bench. But it don't really matter to me. I will always reign. I will stay the queen. Some forgive and they don't forget. But I don't forgive and I don't forget.
You came after me days ago. I need Tyson to go. I'm still the queen, and I'll always stay the queen.
Yeah.
Like a nice little tribute.
Yeah.
That was from the artist, Meet Brenda Loaf.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the comments while I was playing. This guy Josh Creek wrote, I guess this is for the Brad Steele thing, the jet ski versus the expired meat in Final 2.
The expired meatloaf, yeah.
Expired meat.
I saw a pitch for the expired Walmart meat to be a player on the Tiger
sure.
King brand.
Yeah, too. Sure. Lots of bad ideas in brainstorming.
I didn't mean to jump off the page.
Just Joe Exotic Brand Steele. By the way,
we've gotten a lot of meatloaf.
Yeah, I don't remember ever getting that song in the 3 years that we've done the Wand Off.
No,
and
me
then
neither.
That song, I feel like we've gotten at least four times in the last 2 weeks, including back-to-back top fives. It was really well done, though. Normally, that would be points against it and not get into the top five. It was very well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should retire Meatloaf, though, other than...
There's more Meatloaf on the SoundCloud playlist.
Why is everyone doing Meatloaf? Maybe we are getting, like, the Walmart hookup.
I do remember listening to you guys, I don't know, probably last season, where there was, like, a coincidence where... They used like nine people used the same song.
Last week when Sandra was talking about the cupcakes that she was going to make, she said to Denise when she was like, oh, cookies and cream cupcake. Oh, I would do anything for that. Gotcha. And I think that that's where it came from. And she incepted all of the wand offs.
I see how that happens now.
Yeah.
But this was amazing. This was really, really funny. But maybe one more meatloaf because Casey needs to say meatleaf.
Meatleaf. Okay.
And then we're good.
And then the number five song here in Wombats Nation comes from a returning two-time champion of the Wandoff. Here is the great Tyler Jacob Jones with a song about the person they're missing this week.
Tyler's back.
There's so many players I've been rooting for, but week after week they get shown out the door. I know I should move on, all my favorites are gone, but I keep holding on like a fool. Yes, I'm saving all my love for you. When
beautiful.
We lost Ethan, it hurt, but I recovered. Same goes with Rob and Danny. Ahead of Sandra and Tyson, my beloved. I even got through poverty. Ooh. But this one is tougher. I'm filled with despair. We did not get enough of that tight green underwear. He's so strong and so smart. Plays with head and with heart. He appears on screen and I start to rule. So I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love for you.
That's a real person.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Tyler Jacob Jones.
Crazy. That was amazing. Tyler.
Yeah.
Amazing, Tyler.
What a performance. Woo. By Whitney Houston Astros, baby.
Baby. Yeah. I don't even like the Boston Red Sox. Oh my goodness.
Chills.
Oh my gosh. You can vote all week long
at robhasawebsite.com/votewanda on your favorite songs for the week here in the Wandoff. Of course, special thanks to Randy Neupel, who puts together the SoundCloud playlist that all the patrons get on Monday nights to listen to all the tracks that did and didn't make the show. And of course, a big shout out to Jason Curtis Rivera for making the music videos to the Wandoff. So, for me, Casey Kasem, until next time, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table
everything.
And your face.
And everything.
Oh, cut all right. Casey Kasem, hand. Great job once again.
Casey.
Well, Casey Kasem, I was listening to so much meatloaf.
Felt like I was like 12 years old all over again listening.
Yeah, it was great, right?
Oh,
so it wasn't
goodness.
Weird for you to see Rob possessed by the ghost of
No.
You are used to ghosts. I forgot about it.
Yeah. That is, right, exactly.
That's sort of your thing.
It's my jam.
Sort of your thing. Oh, my God. What a great time.
It's
what a great
ghost.
Time this is.
A,
yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
In the aforementioned epilogue.
All right.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So much still to do. Dom, is there anything about this season that we haven't talked about that you wanted to cover?
No, I'm still kind of learning it as I go with this whole fire token economy thing. I'm digging it.
Yeah. You like fire tokens?
I think it's interesting. Little addition to the game. I feel like
you're being a little cagey.
Well, you know what it is?
You're playing it tight right now. Which well, I appreciate. I think is the right thing to do.
Because the
yeah,
jury's
see,
not
there
out
it is.
Yet.
There
you
it
know
is.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. I got to see how it ends up because I think I mentioned this to Dalton. I feel like you really need a full evolution of a new idea, a full one season evolution for you to really see the legs it can have.
So you know where you sit with it and like what needs to be built onto the body of the thing.
Right. There's potential there. We're not seeing it yet. And totally. The same thing applied to Final Four Fire Making. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't see it until two or three seasons later. So as far as the fire tokens go, I think the same thing. I think there's a lot of potential to get really crafty with it, but I don't think anyone really gets it yet, you know, and I want to see if that evolves towards the end of the season. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than that, I don't really, you know, just following along, doing my thing, enjoying it, loving it.
Okay.
Do you guys have any special...
Who's in big trouble at the merge, Dom?
Hard to say, right?
I mean, hard to say. Especially when they're coming together as three tribes into one.
Yeah. I feel like Adam.
It's a strange collision.
Adam, to me, seems like he's in the most trouble because I feel like
repeats, right? That's where he was in a dangerous spot his last
week. Yeah, I just think that he's a consensus person. I think that original Dekal is going to say, okay, well, he's not one of us. And original Sele says, okay, well, I don't know if we can trust him. It seems like an easy person to be able to both sides to agree on and have not such a contentious vote. Although the Edge of Extinction person is also
that's what I was going to just say is like Boston Rob just scored three fire tokens, and if he's able to just like you know classic Boston Rob his way back in from the Edge of Extinction, and talking about Survivor Poetry for him to get voted out immediately after that Redemption Island style would be spectacular.
To get Wyatt Nash.
Nashed would be remarkable. That's the outcome I'm rooting for. With no shade towards Boston Rob, I just think it would be amazing to see.
Did the preview show that they're going to introduce one of the players back prior to the vote?
Yeah.
So someone's coming in and then someone's home.
Somebody's going to the edge.
Yeah.
So do we just anticipate that the person coming in is going immediately home?
Or the rest of the players never edgers, Rob? You want to just say that word one more time?
You're really, right? Everyone in the audience seems loves to love it when you say it.
Never edgers. Yeah. Are there a lot of pro edgers in the audience? The people that are like, I swear by edging.
No, I think like, God,
they love to edge.
It's the phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept is not as dirty as the phrasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
The phrasing needs some assistance.
Okay,
you need to bring in someone for the messaging.
Okay. All right.
Call Rob as a PR firm.
Okay.
I have nothing else to add other than I'm so thankful, Dom, that you were here. You know, obviously I was a bit on the fence as to whether or not I was going to return to Survivor podcasting this season. And I'm very grateful that I've met a lot of people along the way in the Survivor journey that have become friends of mine. And you are very much one of them. And you were one of the real cheerleaders for me. Like, you can't sit out season four.
Wiggs.
Yeah. You were like, Wiggler, don't be a crazy person.
We need you, man.
The wand off would not be happening right now if it wasn't for Dom in a very real way. You were one of the people that really pushed me over the edge.
Pushed you over the edge.
Fragment.
Yeah, but that's a different thing.
Pushed you over the edge.
No, but you really helped me out and got my head on straight, and I think people are benefiting from it. And you know, as the world is as abnormal as it's ever been, we are. This very abnormal thing that we have here in the wand off, the wand off is so much fun. And I think it is this very abnormal thing that has become like a normal part of a lot of people's podcasting routine. You know, some version of it's going to be here forever. And I'm very grateful for you, Dom, pushing this back onto the map. It's been super fun for me to do, and it's been a real therapeutic release for me. So thank you for your role in that. I really appreciate
it. Sure. If you say so. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Good that you're getting that therapeutic release and not...
And for the record, Josh has been a shoulder for me to lean on as well in the last few weeks, because as I mentioned at the beginning of this thing, I've been having a little bit of a hard time coping with driving into the city and this whole thing. And, you know, I know Josh has a little experience with this, so it's been comforting to be able to chat with someone who kind of knows how to hone it in.
That's it.
Take a deep breath and say, all right, you're still here.
When you're in my neck of the woods, we'll do a 10-foot distance hang.
Yeah, go, you can go on my street. You would let Dom stand outside your window?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put his hand on, glass.
I'd come outside. Don't touch any surfaces.
Don't touch anything.
Okay.
We could hang out 10 feet away from each other. So text me. Let me know.
Give him a look. Okay. All right. So, Dom, I know that you're the commissioner of the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League. Also, John Cody recently was telling me he's would love to get in there. I don't know if there's going to be any shakeup in the league.
We'll see.
Somebody who didn't check their team the entire year might be a candidate. Joe Exotic Mena maybe could be a candidate. That being said, over on FanDuel, you could play the weekly Survivor fantasy game, win a chance to get some bonus bucks on FanDuel, play every week, set your fantasy lineup at FanDuel.com/RHAP, pick five players, and then see how you fare against the other Survivor watchers to win your share of, I believe, over $2,000 in bonus cash up for grabs.
Wow.
FanDuel.com/RHAP.
I heard you used to be able to actually bet on Survivors in Vegas. Is that accurate? Did you hear something about that?
Way back in the very beginning,
maybe.
Yeah,
because that can't happen now. There's too much spoilers.
Okay. All right. Josh Wigler, what do you have coming up for everybody?
Oh. Wow. Post show recaps. There's 1,000 things happening. By 1,000, I mean probably like 6. Maybe 7 things happening on post show recaps right now. A lot of things. We got weekly Westworld coverage. We got weekly Walking Dead coverage. One more week of The Walking Dead because it's going to end a little bit early. Jessica Lise and I are talking about a podcast successor beyond The Walking Dead. So when The Walking Dead wraps, Jess and I are going to keep things going. We hope we'll have an announcement on that soon. So stay tuned. As I mentioned, there's The Lost podcast that Dom is a huge fan of, loves The Lost. So that's happening over at Post Show Recaps. We're getting up to the Mr. Echo flashback this week. So that's going to be super fun to get into. Better Call Saul, Antonio Mazzaro and I. We've got the Better Call Saul podcast going on. We're going to record that this week. And as I may have teased, there's a new podcast coming to Post Show Recaps.
What?
Very exciting time.
Okay.
A lot of people who've been really we like the movies. A lot of people like the Marvel movies. If you like those Marvel movies, you may want to subscribe to Post Show Recaps. Something super is on the way.
Okay. All right. Be on the lookout for that. PostShowRecaps.com. Subscribe at PostShowRecaps.com/iTunes. Of course.
Top Chef Podcast, of course. Top Chef Podcast is the best part of my week other than the Wandoff. So Top Chef Podcast.
And if you missed any of the Survivor podcasts, Chrissy Hofbeck was on the show. Karishma, I thought, did a really great job on the feedback show this weekend. This Week in Survivor with Puya Zambakili. And then, of course, got to talk about Tiger King with Bryce Isaiah. And also, if you are missing your brackets, your March Madness on Robin Akiva, need a podcast. We had the One Hit Wonder bracket this weekend. What's that?
That thing you do, joking. I was trying to bring it back. That's fine.
Yes. Be sure to check that out. And we were very lucky to have the great Jessica McKenna, the musical improviser and co-host of the Off Book podcast. It was a great get there with us. Michael J. Clark, Wandoff Week 5 champion with Laura E.D. Michael J. Clark on the One Hit Wonder bracket, which people have been dragging me for all day long, and I hate it. I hate negative feedback, Tom.
I would say get offline, but where are you going to go?
Yeah, nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. You got to stay.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. So what are you going to do? All right. And Dom, where can people get see more of what you're doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
There's tweeting. Yeah, I'm tweeting. You know, don't worry about me.
Yeah. Okay,
we're here.
We worry about you.
Watching anything cool right now, Dom, or not really? You loved the morning show.
I just finished the
morning show.
You loved the morning show.
Morning show, big fan of morning.
My guy
show.
Loved the morning show. And you're big Billy Crudup guy.
Amazing, yeah. Great show. And then I just watched also on Apple The Banker.
Banker.
It was fantastic.
Oh, is that the movie with
Samuel L. Jackson? Yeah. And that other, I don't know the other guy's name. Really good.
All right. Yeah. Well, great job, Dom. Thank you for joining us on The Wiggle Room.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, boy, we got a great week of podcast coming
Who's
up
coming?
Here.
Who's coming in?
I mean, this is like, it's the merge. We're pulling out all the stops. Your friend and mine, Christian Hubicki, is going to join me on Thursday.
Very excited
about that. Mr. Robot himself.
Hey, you can see him in the background of my...
Recent guest with Josh on the Westworld podcast. And then, this weekend, we got a real treat. He's been tweeting up a storm, talking about... his original
Tony's
alliance
gonna be
partner.
On the podcast.
No. Malcolm Freeberg is going to join us this weekend. Great weekend on the podcast. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Cool.
So we're gonna pulling out all the stops. Robiswebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Alex G with her own idol. S4T with her own idol. Cause a scene with her own idol. Queen Denise. Queen slays queen. Cause a scene on my screen. Queen slays queen. Makes me scream in quarantine. Queen slays queen. Queen Denise. Queen Denise. Queen slays queen. Makes me scream in quarantine.
Jeff, can you give me a minute?
Any votes cast for Denise will not count.
Jeff, can you give me one more minute?
I have you.
It all started out on day 16. Things were blowing up at the Tribe Called to Call. It was looking bleak for old Denise. Wait now, where could Tony be? Trying to make her case, vote for Jeremy. Keep it down, Tony might build spy bunkers. It seems like the queen is gonna stay queen. And where the frick is Tony B? Then her highness comes and starts talking about she wants to give me expiring idols. This is not the way you played. I thought that you were anybody but me. Give me two of your tokens and you're safe. This is now a choice clearer than race. Got her on lockdown for the checkmate. All hail to the Queen Denise.
Denise does not count. Denise does not count. Eighth person voted out of Survivor, winners of war. Sandra.
Come to the dark side.
Making the queen turn green, making a scene as she walks out her screen, cause she will not achieve the three-time dream, instead she will bequeath. It hurts me to see all of these queens going out pre-jury. I need a time machine, go back and see the best of Parvati. 20th Steve, we see survivors wild out here 2020, giving them all six idols, and now everybody's on jury. Going to EOE, they're gonna see some real mean extinct teasing. Meanwhile, Denise is now the queen of all season 40.
Queen slays queen, queen Denise, queen Denise. Tyson's got man panties, man panties. Present for Parvati. Parvati inside his man panties. Feel the breeze.